The Tory presents Pieces of Classical Verse, read to you by Pratham Datta. I wish you merry listening. Ode to Napoleon Bonaparte by Lord Byron, read to you by Pratham Datta. Expende animalum. Quot libras in duce sumo, in venis. These are lines from Juvenal that basically means, produce the urn that Hannibal contains and weigh the mighty dust which yet remains. And is this all? Byron's introduction continues, citing Gibbon's Decline and Fall, volume 6, page 220. The Emperor Nepos was acknowledged by the Senate, by the Italians and by the provincials of Gaul. His moral virtues and military talents were loudly celebrated, and those who derived any private benefit from his government announced in prophetic strains the restoration of public felicity. By this shameful abdication, he protracted his life a few years in a very ambiguous state, between an emperor and an exile till. Part 1. 'Tis done, but yesterday a king, and armed with kings to strive, and now thou art a nameless thing, so abject yet alive. Is this the man of thousand thrones, who strewed our earth with hostile bones, and can he thus survive? Since he miscalled the morning star, no man nor fiend hath fallen so far. Part 2. Ill-minded man, why scourge thy kind, who bowed so low the knee? By gazing on thyself grown blind, thou taughtest the rest to see. With might unquestioned power to save, thine only gift hath been the grave to those that worship thee, nor till thy fall could mortals guess ambitions less than littleness. Part 3. Thanks for that lesson. It will teach to after warriors more than high philosophy can preach and vainly preached before. That spell upon the minds of men breaks never to unite again, that led them to adore those pagod things of sabre sway with fronts of brass and feet of clay. Part 4. The triumph and the vanity, the rapture of the strife, the earthquake voice of victory to thee, the breath of life. The sword, the scepter, and that sway, which man seemed made but to obey, wherewith renown was rife, all quelled dark spirit, what must be the madness of thy memory? Part 5. The desolator desolate, the victor overthrown, the arbiter of others' fate, a suppliant for his own. Is it some yet imperial hope that with such change can calmly cope, or dread of death alone? To die a prince or live a slave, thy choice is most ignobly brave. Part 6. He who of old would rend the oak, dreamed not of the rebound. Changed by the trunk he vainly broke, alone how looked he round. Thou in the sternness of thy strength, an equal deed hast done at length, and darker fate hast found. He fell, the forest prowler's prey, but thou must eat thy heart away. Part 7. The Roman, when his burning heart was slaked with blood of Rome, threw down the dagger, dared to part in savage grandeur home. He dared to part in utter scorn of men that such a yoke had borne, yet left him such a doom. His only glory was that awe of self-upheld, abandoned power. Part 8. The Spaniard, when the lust of sway had lost its quickening spell, cast crowns for rosaries away, an empire for a cell. A strict accountant of his beads, a subtle disputant on creeds, his dotage trifled well. Yet better had he neither known a bigot shrine nor despot's throne. Part 9. But thou from thy reluctant hand the thunderbolt is wrung. Too late thou leavest the high command to which thy weakness clung. All evil spirit as thou art, it is enough to grieve the heart to see thine own unstrung. To think that God's fair world hath been the footstool of a thing so mean. Part 10. And earth had split her blood for him who thus can hold his own. And monarchs bowed the trembling limb and thanked him for a throne. Fair freedom, we may hold thee dear, when thus thy mightiest foes their fear in humblest guise have shown. O near may tyrant leave behind a bright name to lure mankind. Part 11. Thine evil deeds are written gore, nor written thus in vain. Thy triumphs tell of fame no more, or deepen every stain. If thou hadst died as honour dies, some new Napoleon might arise to shame the world again. But who would soar the solar height to set in such a starless night? Part 12. Weighed in the balance, hero dust is vile as vulgar clay. Thy scales' mortality are just to all that pass away. But yet, methought the living great some higher sparks should animate to dazzle and dismay. No deemed contempt could thus make mirth of these the conquerors of the earth. Part 13. And she, proud Austria's mournful flower, thy still imperial pride, how bears her breast the torturing hour? Still clings she to thy side. Must she to bend, must she to share thy late repentance, long despair, thou throneless homicide? If still she loves thee, hold that gem, 'tis worth thy vanished diadem. Part 14. Then haste thee to thy southern isle and gaze upon the sea. That element may meet thy smile, it ne'er was ruled by thee. Or trace with thine all idle hand in loitering mood upon the sand, that earth is now as free, that Corinth's pedagogue hath now transferred his by word to thy brow. Part 15. Thou Timon, in his captive's cage, what thoughts will there be thine? While brooding in thy prisoned rage, but one, the world was mine. Unless, like he of Babylon, all senses with thy scepter gone, the life will no long confine. That spirit poured so widely forth, so long obeyed, so little worth. Part 16. O like the thief of fire from heaven, wilt thou withstand the shock, and share with him the unforgiven, his vulture and his rock? Foredoomed by God, by man accursed, and that lost act, though not thy worst, the very fiend's arch mock. He in his fall preserved his pride, and if a mortal had as proudly died. Part 17. There was a day, there was an hour, when earth was Gaul's, Gaul thine, when that immeasurable power, unsated to resign, had been an act of purer fame than gathers round Marengo's name and gilded thy decline. Through the long twilight of all time, despite some passing clouds of crime. Part 18. But thou forsooth must be a king, and don the purple vest, as if that foolish robe could wring remembrance from thy breast. Where is that faded garment? Where the gewgaws thou wert fond to wear? The star, the ring, the crest, vain froward child of empire, saying, are all thy playthings snatched away? Part 19. Where may the weary's eye repose when gazing on the great, where neither guilty glory glows, nor despicable state? Yes, one, the first, the last, the best, the Cincinnatus of the West, whom envy dare not hate, bequeathed the name of Washington to make man blush. There was but one. Part 20. Yes, better to have stood the storm, a monarch to the last, although that heartless, fallless form had crumbled in the blast, then stoop to drag out life's lost years, the nights of terror, days of tears, for all the splendor past. Then, after ages would have read, thy awful death was more than dread. Part 21. A lion in the conquering hour, in wild defeat a hare, thy mind hath vanished with thy power, for danger brought despair. The dreams of sceptres now depart, and leave thy desolated heart the capital of care. Dark Corsican, 'tis strange to trace.